Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a Wolverine purr.
Hot is sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day
for the United States of America.
It's a Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock! That's what we call a sack lunch!
They do have a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Chris Landry joins us Thursdays. And Chris, first of all, hope you're doing well with the 10th hurricane the last 2 months hitting you.
Yeah, I don't know. We ticked off somebody. I don't know what. Man, we're doing fine. Folks in New Orleans got hit a little bit. The whole Gulf Coast, Mississippi, Alabama went through pretty fast. So if there's any positive, is that it went through as fast as it did. But all good here, thankfully.
Chris, I don't want to spend too much time on this, but we were just kicking it around. What's the proper protocol? When a coaching staff takes over, head coach and his staff, when is it no longer okay to point to what you got left? Meaning what you walked into, the mess you inherited.
Right.
When is that no longer fair game?
Well, the rule of thumb, and I believe in this, when a new coach takes over a program, it what happens initially is more reflective of what he inherited than what he's able to do. The longer he's there, the more it becomes his program and the more it's reflective of what he's done and not what was done by the previous coach. Now, to your point of how long, it depends upon the mess. I mean, it's if you spill milk in the kitchen, that's one type of mess. Then there's a big mess like, God forbid, if you have storm damage and stuff, that's a really big mess, right? So
right.
What is the level of mess? For example, I think the biggest problems are the culture issues where you have to maybe purge rosters, but you can't do it because if you did that, you wouldn't even have enough players. Like, I think the big, really big mess right now is like Florida State, I'm sorry. I think that, but once you're getting into, say, the third year, look, I mean, I think in the second year, the first year, you change over the culture. That's what you have to do. If you're trying to change the culture in the second year, you haven't done a good job in the first year. You can change the culture by the end of the first year. Players need to know what you mean and that you mean it. And this is how it's going to be. And then it becomes an improvement of personnel and guys that fit. So by the third year, I would say you absolutely need to be headed in the right direction. But again, that does depend on how bad it was that you inherited.
Your keys to the Penn State-Ohio State game.
Well, grading out the games from last week, disappointing in how Penn State's offensive line played. I thought it was a really big problem. I do think, Freeze graded out well, but they just didn't get a whole lot of help. Thorpe wasn't awful, but they just didn't play well at the line of scrimmage. They're going to really struggle to stop Ohio State's offense. And I didn't think Clifford played well in the pass game. I thought he used his legs well. I think the key is you've got to be able to run the football, which, again, if Penn State doesn't get better offensive line play, they're going to have a hard time with that. So, I think it's going to require a much better passing performance, much better offensive line play, a very, very clean game, which Penn State doesn't play a lot of clean games. I don't give a whole lot of hope. I think they're going to have to catch Ohio State on a really bad day. But that's the key, is to be able to run the football effectively, play ball control, and that's including Clifford running it as well. But they can't get in the shootout game. I don't think they can match up.
Chris Landry with us, LandryFootball.com. will let you know how you can get all of his information. News that was probably expected on Wednesday, Chris, the cancellation of the Wisconsin-Nebraska game. I know neither one of us could predict the future on cancellations, but, and we knew this would be a problem because of the Big Ten's stringent rules, 21-day sit-outs and all that kind of stuff. But I'm just wondering, between now and mid-December, what we're looking at in that league.
Yeah, so do I. Part of me, and I don't mean this because I'm enjoying watching the games, part of me is just, I don't know, I can't wait to get the season over. And I don't mean it in that literal sense, but I just want to get through the season and get through this before things get too bad or we have more of this. Because I still have a lot of concern that we're going to end up nowhere near as well as we started this. So my concern is that with the 21-day set out is how it's going to affect. So, I mean, we've seen it affect Florida. But, you know, Florida's got a chance if they get some good luck. They can make up a game. The Big Ten's not going to be able to do that. There'll be no contest. And I'm concerned, let's say, for Wisconsin, which I think is fully healthy, is the best team in that West. And I think it's going to maybe render the most of their schedule, because I don't think this is going to be the only game that they miss. I think it's going to render them, you know, kind of more exhibition-like. And that's unfortunate, because even though we kind of looked at it and said, well, the Big Ten may not play, they're going to be eliminated. Well, they may eliminate themselves just by the COVID issue. I think the real concern, the biggest concern, is in Columbus. Can they get through their season? Because that's the only team in the league that has national playoff capabilities. I don't want to rule out Michigan as a potential fourth team, because there's only three playoff caliber teams. So there could be a second team, but it's really Ohio State that's the only playoff caliber team amongst the three playoff caliber teams. And, what if they end up having to miss two games or three games? What is that going to do? That is very concerning, I would think, and it is for me.
Chris, this may be a poor comparison, but I'll try it. NFL, the Titans were off about 2 weeks, didn't get to do much, and played Buffalo, played well, looked good in that ball game. Gators have been off for a while, got back to practice on Monday. They have Missouri coming up. Is there any way to compare those two situations, meaning Florida may play well in this game?
No, well, Florida may play well, but I wouldn't compare it. It is different. You've got more games under your belt with the Titans and more practices under your belt, and you're talking about pro players that are used to, you know, being able to get through light practices, in this case, no practices, and they face the Buffalo team that, quite frankly, had some issues themselves with injuries, and I think all of that factored in.
Right.
What I just do not know about Florida is, they haven't done anything, and I don't know what to expect. I really don't. Look, I expect them to win maybe by, a couple of touchdowns against Missouri. Missouri's playing well, playing with confidence. They have played in recent history Florida pretty well, different coaching staff. But I think Eli's done a good job. The quarterback's playing well. Got a really good back that's starting to, it's been good for a while, but starting to be a factor for him. It's all about Florida, and I just don't know. Without any work for basically 2 weeks, you don't have that. I mean, you don't have that. They certainly are spent the time from a coaching staff preparing for the rest of the season, but the players just, I don't know what to expect there. So that to me is very intriguing. Under normal circumstances, I'd expect Florida to win and maybe even win decisively, but I don't know here.
Jason says, Bill, ask Chris, with the loss of Jalen Waddle, what changes on the Bama offense? And Slade Bolden's a Louisiana kid who I think is going to play well for them.
Yeah, nothing changes in the offensive schematically. And they've got enough playmakers to where it doesn't really affect what they do. What changes is it puts a little bit more pressure on the other receivers to have to win and get open. When I mean win in their routes and get open, because you're going to see a little bit more roll coverage your way that would have gone to Waddle. So, look, Jalen was outstanding. The highest graded receiver for Alabama this year has been Devontae Smith. And Waddle, the more explosive, but he's really good. Mechie's playing well. You mentioned Bolden. They've got, you know, Williams and Holt. This will only affect them potentially in a playoff type game if maybe they need an explosive play in the return game, or, you know, a guy that just could take the top off a defense. No one could do that better than Waddle. They still have guys that can do it. But it's a loss. You can't talk about him and how good he was and how explosive he was and then lose him and say, but it doesn't really matter. Of course it does. Will it matter in terms of their ability to win it all? I wouldn't say that. I don't think that's going to be the decisive factor, but certainly it's going to be a fact down the road.
The controversy with some about why use Waddle as a kickoff returner, which is his original skill set dating way back. It's not like they just started this. But what's your, as a coach, Chris, what's your theory on using key skill players in the dangerous return game?
Hey, listen, I had a background with Parcells and Belichick and the importance of putting as many good players on special teams, even in the NFL, yeah, where you will pay money to guys that are on special teams because how valuable. I don't think people just don't pay enough attention. And as much as they may lack some of the intricacies of understanding offenses and defenses, most people have no clue what they're watching on special teams. It is really important. Now, with that said, you can make the case that in college, when you have extraordinary talent, that you can make the case, you know, maybe that is the job for the younger receiver that's trying to get, or the younger defensive back that's trying to get some work to put him in there. But in terms of making plays, you make plays in all three facets. So to say, well, you know, I don't want him on special teams, that's no different than saying, you know what, it's first down, we're not going to throw. Why have him in the game? He might trip or get hurt blocking. Well, that's dumb. You put your players in there. I do think it matters maybe, and I do think Nick in the past has maybe played some of those guys a little too long in games. Yeah, you can always do that. But you know what? How many people would have called in or written in and said, what the hell is Jalen Waddle doing returning kicks if he didn't get hurt? It's always the hindsight 20/20. Of course, you would look at it and say, boy, I wish he wasn't in there on that play. You feel that way on everybody that gets hurt. That's football. It's going to happen, and the injury factor is 100%. It's just a matter of who, when, and why.
Chris, got a couple minutes on the other side?
Sure.
Okay, Chris Landry, we'll let you know how you can get all of his information. LandryFootball.com, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel.
Well, good morning. Looks like a couple of cars have pulled over to the side here on 65 southbound at Trinity Lane. It's not causing a big backup, but just busy here this time of the morning. 24 eastbound near Murfreesboro Pike on a minor wreck, wrapping up an earlier crash in the 1400 block of Charlotte Ave there in Midtown. Watching it build on I-40 right now, coming out of Wilson County into Hermitage as you come out of Wilson County there through Mount Julian especially. To cater your next holiday party coming up, call Princess Hot Chicken or simply go online to princesshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time
traffic. Hey, Tennessee, sports betting is almost here, and FanDuel Sportsbook is giving you an exclusive offer to get started. Right now, FanDuel Sportsbook is giving users $50 in free bets just for signing up.
You heard that right.
They're giving you $50 in free site credit to register
and verify early, no deposit required.
FanDuel is America's number one sports betting site for a reason. They've got odds on all the biggest sports.
Simple, intuitive app that makes it easy to find the bet you're looking for and then lock it in.
And unlike other sportsbooks, once you win, FanDuel gets your cash to you in as little as 24 hours. Why?
Because it's the right thing to do.
But right now, the right thing for you to do is download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and check out their fantastic app for yourself.
Just be sure to sign up and register using the promo code GREGP.
That's right, GREGP.
So they know we sent you.
To verify your account, you'll receive $50 in site credit when FanDuel Sportsbook is live.
That promo, GREGP, get you $50 in site credit.
FanDuel Sportsbook goes live in Tennessee.
Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800. 800-889-9789.
Lynch Tree Service has been helping Middle Tennesseans for more than 25 years. Whether you need tree pruning and maintenance, stump grinding, or even land clearing, Lynch Tree Service is here to help. Their number one priority is to provide customers with the best tree services possible at an extremely competitive price. For more info, give them a call at 615-444-4676 or look them up on the web at lynchtreeservice.com.
The Klein Preston Law Group in Nashville, a proud supporter of the Atlanta Braves and Southeastern Conference, has over two decades of experience in litigation and transactional practice. Their practice focuses primarily on business law, including business litigation, business structure, and international law. The Klein Preston Law Group has represented clients from state and federal courts throughout the state of Tennessee to the United States Supreme Court. For more information, go to their website, Klein with a K, PrestonLaw.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's a smart suggestion.
Check out the new and improved WNSR.com.
You're going to have to explain that.
It's the new and improved WNSR.com.
With everything a sports fan needs.
We got a whole new attitude.
All the scores. All the highlights. All the updates. All the stories.
And even the new website smell.
From Nashville Sports Radio.
This is the most important religious event of our time.
You keep saying that, but you don't tell me how.
Log on to the new and improved WNSR.com.
Hashtag Fat Side Up, tweet to Bill at Bill is King to enter the arena of ideas.
Bunch of good questions here for Chris. Lake Norman Buckeye says, Bill, ask Chris what he's hearing from inside of Texas. Buckeye fans right now loving watching Texas Tommy burn after what he did. Quinn Ewers decommits, top quarterback class of 22. Apparently, the Buckeyes are probably the recipient here whenever he makes another decision. But whether it's arguing or fighting about the song you sing at the end of a game, or whether it's a decommit, or Chris, whether it's the defense can't bust a grape, what's going on?
Well, obviously, the whole culture problem of Texas, I kind of look at it in a couple of ways. If you are winning and you're successful, you can deal with some of the issues that they're dealing with the song. But, as you've alluded to, it's a little bit of a culture problem, you know, worse than Oklahoma, but similar in that they don't have enough good defensive players. There is no excuse for Texas or Oklahoma, by the way, to not recruit, not like a Big 12 team, but like a, you know, a Clemson, a Georgia, an Alabama. They have all the resources to do it. They don't do it. They haven't done it, and that's a flaw, and they can recruit nationally. I do know there's issues in Texas with the 7-on-7s and maybe not as many guys. They've got plenty of guys that can run. There are plenty of good players that can play good defense. They don't emphasize defense enough. They're constantly trying to outscore. They don't play complementary ball, and I think that's led to a softness issue. I think it's anytime you're just a run up and down the field, it's just going to be whoever gets the ball last, and that's why you never know. And that's why a team like a Kansas State or, you know, can have some success, Iowa State, because they play a little defense. Oklahoma State is doing a pretty nice job. So to me, it's the lack of defensive culture, recruiting to it, developing it, and playing an offense that's complementary to it. So what that does is created more of the same problems that they've had, even worse. And then in this situation, I'm not quite sure what Tom Herman does. This is above him. So here's what this whole song stuff is. You back your players. You have to. If you don't back your players, then you're done. If you do back your players, then you tick off the upper administration and the boosters. There is no win on this stuff. I mean, and if you're not winning on the field, you're going to take somebody off. There is no win there because you lose the players or you lose the support of the, you know, boosters and administrators. Well, when you're not winning, look, if you're winning, there's nothing they can do to you. If you're losing, there's nothing they can do for you to help you. And so he's in a bad, bad way, and it's just a matter of, I don't know, it's the lack of stroke that he has because of his lack of success on the field that has contributed to this. Because you know somebody that was more successful and more political. If this was going on in the height of Mack Brown when they were successful, then it could have been handled now. But the latter stages of Mack, this would have got him pushed out the door. This is a very difficult situation, but it stems from the on-the-field performance.
Jeff, too,'s got a pro question. He says, ask Chris, the Patriots' struggles this year more indicative of Belichick's lack of preparation in life after Brady? He says, also, is Tampa Bay's success more about Brady's drive to prove Belichick wrong?
Well, Tampa's situation is a combination of a few things. That defense is very good and playing better than anybody in the NFC South. So the defense has been really good. Brady's had a tremendous impact. They've got good playmakers around them. And while Brady's made some mistakes, you cut down the massive amount of mistakes that Jameis Winston did. You could see that was going to be an improvement just by Brady's presence. It's a lot to do with Brady. On New England, the quarterback play, you got to remember now that you've got to get Cam Newton in the run game to be successful. And there's no doubt for a team that focuses on a lot of preparation in a game today, a game-to-game playing situational offense and defense, which Belichick does, missing practices is going to hurt him a lot more than others. So, like when we talk about with the Titans, well, they just simplify, do what they do. They run the football. But a lot of the mix and match of situational offense and defense, when you have the COVID issues and you can't practice and it's early in the season, you got to do that. And you don't have a Brady that can bail you out, that's where it is. And right now you got them in Buffalo this week and neither one of them are playing very well. And that was a game that 3 weeks ago I would have thought, wow, this is going to be really fun. Right now I'm not quite sure that either one of them are good enough, and it's probably going to be for the AFC East.
Coach Marshall, ask Chris which Ole Miss quarterback you think Vanderbilt will see in the RPO, I should say, more on Saturday, Matt Corral or John Rhys Plumlee?
Well, it depends on how well Corral. I would say that Corral's going to play. You're going to see both. Corral's going to start, and how well he plays, which I expect he'll play pretty well against him. I would say you probably get more snaps from Corral. But if he doesn't play really well, and let me just say this, that for all the talk about the officiating and everything, Ole Miss has not played well offensively. Lane had a really bad play calling day last week. The red zone hasn't been really effective. That's why they've used Plumlee a little bit more. So if they continue to struggle, particularly in the red zone, you're going to see a little bit more Plumlee. But it really depends on how well Corral plays early on. Look, I'm a big believer in getting Plumlee on the field. I thought they would do a little bit better job of utilizing him on the field. I realize the young man wants to play quarterback, but that's your job. You've got to convince that guy that he's got next-level ability, not at quarterback. And, you know, you can do some quarterback things. We'll have a package for you, but let's get you on the field and be a slash guy that can be in a lot of different spots. You've got to be able to sell that on to the guy, and you got to get him on the field more, because without him on the field, I think you're taking away a really big weapon, maybe the biggest weapon on an offense that's got quite a few weapons.
Really does. Jim and Jupiter, ask Chris if Florida State has an issue at their defensive coordinator position.
They got a culture issue of guys – players doing their own thing. That is not a issue of coaching technique. It's attitude. It's trying to get them. All those guys, the ones that can play, they're concerned about is playing in the league and getting ready. They're not, and this is the thing about it is, if you're Mike, you're in a tough spot. You run all those guys away, what are you going to do, line up with 40 players? They've got a major, major cleaning that they need to do. That is a situation where it's more of a problem that's left, as opposed to, say, what's going on in Starkville, where Leach is the biggest problem. And you know, it's always, if you're not winning, you know, it's not always the same. You know, the first year they don't have a culture problem in Starkville, or they do, mainly due to the head coach. But in Florida State, it's due to a lot of players that are very, you saw this in the off season, they're very much me oriented, and that's going to take a while to clean that up, at least another off season.
Got a couple left here for Chris. Very good questions. Gator Brandon asked Chris about the LSU defensive tackle transfer announcement. He's the kid from Utah. Chris, I've never tried to pronounce his name, but
yeah,
what's up there?
I can pronounce it. If I pronounce it three times, it'll be different. He's a really good point of attack player, but he's got good off the ball quickness, and the guy's got a high motor, and he's going to fit a lot of what they want to do, be very aggressive, get upfield and attack. But yeah, they do a really good job there of identifying those type of kids out in Utah, of guys that really play with a high energy, high motor. Most of those guys do, not to stereotype, but a lot of those guys just play like their hair's on fire, and he does.
Quickly, I wasn't even thinking about this because I got a couple of other ones. Findlay at quarterback, true freshman. One game, but was that convincing enough to have a quarterback controversy, although Coach O says there is none?
Well, here's the thing about it. First of all, Miles Brennan has played very well. He's graded out very well. So that's a good thing. Having two guys play well is better than trying to find one that can play well enough. But this kid's got more physical ability than Brennan. I thought he did a really good job. His accuracy, getting the ball out on time, that impressed me. His poise impressed me. Look, I've seen the practice tape on him. I'm aware of what he can do, but doing it on air, doing it in the game, particularly against a couple guys in the secondary that played pretty well, he threw some balls that were very, very impressive. But keep in mind, people are going to see him and study him, and now we're going to see this week. Decent Auburn secondary. I don't know that the front will be good enough. We'll see what he can do this week because Miles is not ready to go. But, yeah, it could be. Look, this is a good one to have. If he outplays him and he has more ability, why not? But I think it does depend upon how well he can protect the football, because right now, until the defense can play with more consistency, the one thing that can kill LSU is – or the one thing that can save them is their offense. You start turning the football over – then all of a sudden, you got those same games which your offense can carry you. All of a sudden, you end up losing games. And that starts this week. So the ability to protect the football is important, not the big plays. So we'll see if he can continue to do that.
Running way late, but I got two more questions throwing in here. No, that's just on me. We got so many questions here, Chris. They're all good. John out in Los Angeles. John played golf in the late 70s at Southern Cal, but he's a big Notre Dame fan because his dad played football there. So let's ask Chris his opinion of Brian Kelly and the Irish, just in general.
I think Brian Kelly does a fantastic job. I don't think people understand how difficult it is to recruit there, the dynamics. I think he's outstanding. They don't have the elite talent, but they've got good talent, and I think they develop well. The offensive lines, the tight ends. He's tough on quarterbacks, but he's good. I think this is a good team, and I'm curious to see what they can do against Clemson. I don't think they're going to win, but how competitive they can be. And I throw them in the mix of the teams that could be the fourth team, that none of them are good enough to be playoff caliber, but somebody's got to make it. They would be in that group.
Here's the last one. Tennessee insurance dog, big Georgia fan. Question. This one comes up every day. Will Georgia play JT Daniels?
I think eventually they will. They should. The big thing to keep in mind, just because he's been cleared medically doesn't mean he's ready and had enough reps and work. When you're cleared medically, you're not ready to, hey, let's play this week. Let's get the work in. I would work towards, not sacrifice a game, of course, but I would work towards improving this passing game any way I could with JT, because I think the only chance they have of getting a shot at beating Alabama, because Georgia is definitely a team that's capable of being in the playoffs, if their passing game gets better. But that's the thing that's going to hold them back. So I'm hopeful for them that they're able to develop that better, and I think it's probably going to have to be with JT. We'll see how well they do with him and how willing that Kirby is. I think Todd Monken would absolutely like to get him ready to go to improve this passing game.
Chris, tell everybody how they can get your info.
LandryFootball.com, very simple. Go there. You can get the Twitch TV channel. You can listen to the podcast. You can get all the film room analysis, the film room game previews, the reviews, player grades, team grades. We got it all for you. It's like having your own scouting department, coaching department for less than a magazine subscription, less than $10 a month. Heck, it's less than that if you take advantage of the year membership. So great opportunity. If you like football, you're going to love LandryFootball.com.
Good stuff, Chris. See you next
week. Thank you, bud. Take care. Bye-bye.
There you go. That was good. Two fantastic segments. I'm running right long, but you know what? It was worth it. We'll be right back. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Well, good morning. They've got this wreck to the sign here on 65 southbound at Trinity Lane. It's not causing a backup, but it's just heavy here this time of the morning. Also, a wreck being cleared 1400 block of Charlotte Avenue, Midtown. Starting to build through Kingston Springs now as we look at it live on I-40 eastbound. All that traffic flow coming out of Dixon County. Check out the all-new Andre Chicken Sandwich now available at Prince's Hot Chicken, 5814 Nolensville Pike. It's worth that short drive. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
George Plaster and Watson Brown to talk with you about a friend of ours, Jody Jones Dentistry. And Watson, we've both visited this beautiful new studio he has in the Music Row area. Man, it is spectacular.
It sure is. And I've known Jody George since he was a kid. His mom and dad, Doug and Lucy, are as good of friends as I have. It was an honor to coach Jody at Vanderbilt. And Jody was one of those tough guys, very smart, highly competitive, unbelievable work ethic. It does not surprise me that he's had a wonderful dentist practice as he does.
22 years worth, and it includes cosmetic dentistry, veneers, crowns, laser bleaching, and they have a hygiene department with microscope technology. If you want an appointment, you simply call them at 615-259-5100 or go on their website, jodyjonesdds.com.
What is it about a classic that appeals to us? Hello, I'm Sammy Stewart, president of F&M Bank. There are a few classics that haven't changed. This truck and these glasses. You know, with proper maintenance and a few upgrades, a classic still works today. We invite you to experience the classic customer service at F&M Bank that has been our hallmark since 1906. Check us out at myfmbank.com.
F&M Bank, your money.
Smart choice.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You've messed up your daughter's haircut. Do you A, get spiritual?
Mom, where's the mirror?
Beauty is within. Oh.
B, find the positives.
Less time blow drying, more time texting?
Or C, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have to.
Twinsies!
I kinda love it. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on adoption, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR SkyScan forecast for this morning. Showers likely, high 69. Showers likely tonight, low 44. Decreasing clouds tomorrow, high 56. Mostly clear tomorrow night, low 40. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Bob Stye.
Sports Radio WNSR.
If it's the P5, the G5, or a neutral site game in Council Bluffs, the Bill King Show has it covered.
I'll say it again. That was two fabulous segments with Chris Landry. Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com. Oh, schedule-wise, tomorrow, same slot, Rusty will be with us. So we missed him this morning. Tried to get him, couldn't get hold of him. They had some bad weather there. where he's located in Georgia. But I've spoken with him, and he said tomorrow morning, same time, 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central, he will be able to join us. Of course, Brad will be with us in hour number three with all of your handicapping. So there you have it. We worked it out. John in Los Angeles. Yeah, he played golf there at Southern Cal with some huge names back in the 70s. Big Notre Dame fan. Came in for commitments last December. And fun meeting him. He's already got plane tickets for this next commitment, which is scheduled for December the 16th. At the Omni Hotel, the beautiful palatial Omni. Says, thanks, Bill, for asking, Chris. Yeah, Notre Dame, I'm with Chris. They're well coached. And Clark Lee, the defensive coordinator, I'm going to brag on him again. He is probably the most underrated, that I'm going to think, other than me talking about it here on the show, most of this audience, which is a very intellectual college football audience. I know you feed off me, but I feed off you too. It's symbiotic. Really is. Don't know a lot about Clark Lee other than hearing about him from me. The defensive coordinator at Notre Dame is, I think, the most underrated, not so well-known coordinator in college football. Now, I'm biased. He's from here. He's from the 615. Went to high school here at MBA, Montgomery Bell Academy. Went to Belmont to college to play baseball. Then changed to Vanderbilt to play football. He's been working on his college degree ever since. And, or his coaching. And he's going up the ladder. He's done a very good job. Notre Dame's defense is very steady. Now, I'm not saying they're the most talented. Do they line them up like Georgia does, player for player on defense? No. Now, they've got a couple. Their Rover, number 6, and their safety, number 14, are big NFL players. They've got some talent. Hamilton, by the way, is a Georgia kid. There's not a better-looking safety in college football than Hamilton, number 14. He's 6'4", about 220, plays safety. He's rangy. He's gotten physical. He's everything. Long arms. God almighty. You don't put him on paper. You don't draw it up better than him, okay? For a prospect out of high school to college, he's a true sophomore. He's playing it out. He's got one more year, and he's gone. He's playing Sunday ball. So they've got talent. They're not real big on the D-line. Their best young player actually is Foskey, Isaiah Foskey, a California kid, number 7. He is a very explosive rush defensive end. Also had a blocked punt and scoop and score after that in the pit game, just showing his athleticism. But again, the interior guys are a bunch of guys that are like 6'1", 6'1 and a half, 290. That's not real big. They're stout. They're physical. They make plays. But a big, strong O-line, I think, can bully them. Yeah, I think that would be a worry if you get in a game like that. Now, these guys like Kurt Heinisch, they played a lot of ball. Those guys have all played a lot of football. They're good. They may find a spot somewhere down a roster in the NFL, but they're not the 6'5", 6'6", 325-pound defensive lineman or the 6'3", 320. They don't have that. And that's a little bit of a worry. Offensive line, tackle to tackle, is good. I don't know if it's the best in America. Some say that. I don't think we know who's got the best O-line in America. Right now, I think it might be Alabama. But nonetheless, they're one of the top 5 to 10 O-lines. They are big, physical, well-coached. And they found themselves some running backs. Chris Tyree basically redshirted a year ago, St. Louis kid. No. He's from Virginia. He's the true freshman. Kyren Williams is the one who got maybe a snap or two a year ago, but in essence redshirted. And his second year, he is number 23. He's their main guy, and he's had a really good year. Ian Book, of course, love, hate with the fans. Brennan Clark is the top backup as well. And They're getting better at wide receiver, too. Ben Skoronek had a very big game. He's the Northwestern transfer against Pitt. Michael Mayer, you've heard me talk about him, the tight end out of Kentucky, is the next All-American tight end there. Matter of fact, I think he's playing that good right now as a true freshman. Now, one knock that irritates fans about Kelly is he doesn't always play the true freshman as much as some think he should. One would be five-star receiver, true freshman, Jordan Johnson. Ian Book just recently said he has looked very good in practice. He's practicing with the big boys. You may start seeing him. They have another one, a Nebraska kid, Xavier Watts, that everybody's been talking about too. But Kelly's a little – that's not his game, man. I'm just telling you. I've studied Brian Kelly a long time, Central Michigan, Cincinnati, and then the Notre Dame job. But I'll tell you the story again. He's at Cincinnati, and that's his last year. They have a huge season. He's done an incredible job at Cincinnati. And the offense is just roaring. And they've got a big 6'6 quarterback named Tony Pike who's running it, and he's running it well. He gets injured, so they have to go to the next quarterback. And for several games, they start a kid named Zach Kolaris, totally different quarterback, 5'11-ish, maybe 6 foot, from the pocket, can run, take it to the house from 60 yards. Different style, can throw it some too, but just different style. And they adapted to it. And numerically, I thought that the offense got even better with Zach Kolaris. Better than with Tony Pike. Couple games go by, and I mean, this offense not only hasn't missed a beat, it's gotten better. And it was already just scoring in bunches. Tony Pike gets healthy. They bench Kolaris. And everything flowed fine. I mean, it didn't hurt, but I wouldn't have done that. I would have stayed with a hot hand. Brian Kelly don't necessarily look at it like that. Pike was the starter. We're going back to him. I would have gone with a hot hand. It doesn't matter, really, who's right or who's wrong. It's just different philosophies. But Brian's got some old school, you don't replace your starter when they get injured. I don't agree with that. I've never bought into that. You play the player who plays the best. I don't care who started it. I care who finishes it. That's more important. But yeah, but he's, and I know a lot of fans out there, Brian Kelly's kind of like Notre Dame, ironically coaching there. But just as a person, he's a guy that you either really, really like or you don't like at all. And I hear from this audience all the time about Brian Kelly. I like him. Yeah, I'm on the like side, but I know many of you don't. Yeah, many of you don't. We need here one more break, hour number two. We're clear the rest of the way. 615-844-5600 if you'd like to get in. No more guesting rest of the way on this Thursday. Tomorrow, Rusty will be with us. Missed him this morning. Rusty will be back. And then Brad Powers out in Vegas for hour number three. Oh, I heard from Rob. Rob's been in Vegas. Rob goes out there a lot. I'll tell you what he told me last night. We'll take the break. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Traffic starting to bunch up here. 65 South at Trinity Lane. Still looks good coming out of Wilson County on I-40, passing 840 there into Hermitage. There's been a couple of wrecks out here in the last 10, 15 minutes, and they've moved that one to the side. 65 South there at Trinity Lane. Hey, to cater your next holiday party coming up, call Princess Hot Chicken. Simply go online to princesshotchicken.com for more details. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Hi, this is Jay Farner, CEO of Rocket Mortgage. Making the right financial decisions has never been more important. We can help guide you to those right decisions now, when they matter most. Mortgage rates are near historic lows. So when you call 8338-ROCKET or visit us at rocketmortgage.com to start your refinance, you'll be well on your way to saving money every month. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.125%, APR 3.43%. Right now could be a great time for you to take some positive financial steps forward with a cash-out refinance from Rocket Mortgage, which could give you the boost that you're looking for. In addition, we may be able to help you refinance with little or no out-of-pocket costs. At Rocket Mortgage, we're committed to every client, every time, no exceptions, no excuses, giving you the best mortgage experience. Call us today at 833-8-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com to learn more.
Rates subject to change. Pay 2.875% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Hey, Bill King here to talk about the Omni Nashville Hotel like you've heard me do so many times. Bar line specifically you. New summer hours, 11 a.m. to 1 a.m. Delicious food and drink. Bourbon barbecue chicken wings. Also the Bear Bowls burger and everything else you're going to love on that menu. Remember, the Omni is also the location of Commitments Year Number 3, which is December 16th. Bar Lines at the Omni Nashville Hotel, 5th Avenue, downtown.
The spread of COVID-19 is still unchecked across the nation, and you need to keep your family safe. Make a new habit and check your temperatures twice a day, once before dinner and before leaving home in the morning. You can't afford to take chances, so use the Exergen Temporal Scanner. Its accuracy is backed by more than 80 clinical studies, and it takes an accurate reading in seconds. It's the only home thermometer used and recommended by hospitals, doctors, and nurses. Quick and easy to use, you can count on Exergen to keep your family safe 24 hours a day.
Get all your NASCAR news every weekday right here on The Final Lap. Hey, it's Kerry Murphy, and Joey Logano punches his ticket to the Championship 4 race at Phoenix in a couple of weeks. But up next, this weekend, is Texas Motor Speedway in the round of 8. So grab all the latest NASCAR news, race recaps, driver interviews, stats, and info every single weekday right here.
Hi, I'm Joey Logano, and you're listening to The Final Lap with Kerry Murphy.
And like us at facebook.com/TheFinalLap. We'd appreciate it every single weekday right here.
Got the exculpatory evidence on college sports. It's Bill King.
Yeah, I was trying to find a picture. So Rob's in Vegas. Rob from the 210. And he sent me a picture. He is at the Circa Resort and Casino, the grand opening. And I think that's where he's at. He sent me a picture, and it didn't show a whole lot of people. I said, so basically empty. He said, no, this is the second floor. He said, the first floor, there's quite a few people there hanging out. He said, plus there's no sports on TV right now. That's always an issue, right? That's what they need. They need action. But he said it's going pretty well. Yeah, going pretty well. So heard from Rob in the 210. On Wednesday. Rob is a very nimble batter. He does very well. 614, Rob. Different Rob. This one's up in Ohio. Bill, my only issue with Brian Kelly was the sideline explosions at players, coaches, refs. Seems like those have stopped, though I don't watch Notre Dame all that much. Has he gotten the temper under control? Really has. Early on at Notre Dame, and he inherited, speaking of the conversations we've been having about what you inherit when you take a job, the Charlie Weiss era just fell off a cliff, right? And the personnel was down overall, but the quarterback situation was bleak. And everything they tried really did work. They even had, remember, they had Dane Crist. He was a 5-star recruit from California. He didn't even play well. And he turned out to not have much of a career. I think he transferred. One of the Montana kids, yes, that name was there. He wasn't very good. They tried a bunch of things at quarterback. Nothing worked. And you would see him on the sideline literally Brian Kelly turning purple. And that was, Rob's right. That was a bad look. You cannot be. You can. Football has screamers. Every staff has screamers, right? You don't want to have too many screamers, but you need some screamers. It's just football. But Kelly looked out of control. And I think whoever, maybe it was his wife, maybe it was one of the priests. Maybe it was the Vatican. I don't know. But I think they talked to him and said, you've got to settle this down. It's not a good look, and it's not helping anything. The more you get mad and the more you scream isn't going to result in the team responding better or the quarterback situation fixing itself. It's okay to have a hellfire and brimstone guy, but that needs to be like your strength and conditioning coach or one of the position coaches, or you've got to have some cool, calm, and collected too. There's a careful mixture of it. Just saying. M. Roos. Bill, this is for Monday, but major no balls of steel. And it was Jack Nicklaus posting that he voted. The former, well, still plays a little golf, I guess, but Buckeye, and arguably, along with Tiger, the best golfers ever, right? Posted that he voted. Now, I didn't read all of it. Did he actually? I don't have time. I can't read all this during on air time. But did he post who he voted for? That's what I'm, because Darren Ravel says Jack Nicklaus is 80. This will be the most divisive thing he has ever done. So did he post that he voted for Orange Man? I'm assuming that's what happened, because Darren Ravel wouldn't be mad about it if it was the other way around. Anyways, yeah, so the Corona bro comes out and gets mad about it. Is that what you say? I didn't keep up with it overnight. John in Los Angeles. Bill, your knowledge of Notre Dame football is second to none. You rock. Well, look, I think the main thing is the mainstream, and in this case I'm talking about, let's say, college football media, not talking about the political media. They don't know Notre Dame very well, if you'll notice. I don't know how many of you, some of you probably don't care, but you can tell they just don't know Notre Dame. They either don't know Notre Dame history. They know it's a storied history that hasn't been updated with natties anytime recently, but still a storied history. But they don't know the inside and out of the I need to know that about all these teams. I don't have to try. It just happens through osmosis. It's not me sitting down working on it. Just happens. Shannon in South Bend says, Bill, how does Notre Dame get to the Ohio State level? They're only 4 hours away from each other. The weather is about the same year-round. What does Ohio State do better? What's the missing element? They recruit another level. And they're well-coached. I mean, there's both. But Notre Dame recruits top 10 to top 15, which is really good. And again, every position has its different ranking, too. You may be better at one position than the other. They're not all equal, right? But Ohio State recruits top 3 pretty much every year. Notre Dame recruits top 10 to top 15. That's the general way to describe it. And Notre Dame's recruiting has been good. They've gotten a lot of good news out there. Not to the Ohio State level. Not to the Clemson level. Not to the Alabama level. Not to the Georgia level. Not to the LSU level. To name a few teams. That's the difference. Brian Kelly is as good a coach during the game as any other coach out there right now in college ball. but he can only take it so far. And that's why I've told you, I don't think you can win an Natty at Notre Dame. I think you can win double-digit games and have a lot of happy times. I don't think you can win an Natty there under these conditions. And I don't mean the COVID-19. I just mean in current college football lore, I don't think you – but I would say that about all but about four or five teams right now in college football, frankly. Hour 3 is coming up.